that the victory has already been won. And so we note that he says in Nehemiah 2:20, yes, Lord, that the God of heaven will prosper us. Say thus this morning that if we continue to move forward, every auxiliary, every leader, every member, we must believe within ourselves that the God whom we serve, he's able to give us the victory in every circumstance if we will commit to do his will and not ours. But now let me warn us by saying that moving forward and doing God's will, just like in the text, it will bring about opposition. In other words, expect some hinderers to show up. Because everyone doesn't have the Lord's agenda as their top priority. Why? Because they're too busy trying to promote themselves and their own agendas. And so know that you will that the first attempt to hinder the work came in the form of ridicule and criticism. But we know that in verse 1 through 3, it shows that Sanballat and his friends started out by insulting the people about their ability or inability to rebuild the wall. They said, according to verse 3, in so many words, that the wall y'all trying to build is so weak that even a little fox could knock it down. Said thus this morning that the folk become critical and suspicious of change, even change that leads to progress and spiritual growth. But now I believe the main reason that some folk resist change is because they see it as a personal threat to themselves, and often they become angry and try to block the progress and the pending success. But now what most critics fail to understand, like Sanballat and his friends, is that the wall didn't belong to them, it didn't belong to Nehemiah or to the workers, but the wall belonged to God. And in the same way today, the church doesn't belong to the pastor or to those helping to build up the church, but the church belongs to God. And that's why Jesus declared, upon this rock I will build not Armstead Church, yes, Lord, but my church. And the very gates of hell shall not be able to prevail against it.
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1.
You put your hand.
Call up somebody. Tell them it's gonna be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel. Transmitting all day.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church. Pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II. One church ministering in two locations. 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive. Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you afresh for this opportunity now to hear from you. Let the Holy Ghost do as only he can through this word. Let him reach and teach every hearer's heart. We thank you in advance, God, for what you're going to do to encourage us, to strengthen our faith. And God would be ever so careful to give you all praise, all glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Mark, chapter 9. Mark, chapter 9. Verse 23 starts this way. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Verse 24 says, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thy mind unbelief. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, to the hearers, more especially the doers of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, fix my faith. Fix my faith. This word comes on the heels of a wonderful and glorious experience Jesus has just had on what is known as the Mount of Transfiguration. He's taken Peter, James, and John with him to witness and to be a part of this transfiguration. And so he has had a glorious time on the mountain fellowshipping with Moses and Elijah, the great lawgiver and the great prophet. And yet he is confirmed in that he is about to do, and that is to surrender his life on Calvary's cross. Peter is so inspired by this wonderful move of God and to be a witness, eyewitness of this account. He suggests that they build three tabernacles on this Mount of Transfiguration, one for Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. God interrupts his suggestion and says, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. What he was literally saying to Peter was, that you are inspired by and to do has a temporary reference and reality connected with it. What Jesus is doing has eternal repercussions. And what he was literally saying was that you are not authorized to speak in a setting such as this. You are looking with fractured perspectives, and you are looking with limited vision. If you want to hear somebody who knows what he's talking about, listen to Jesus. And so after this transfiguration experience has ended and they are descended now back to the bottom of the mountain, the Bible says in verse 14, and when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. Verse 15 says, and straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. Well, remember, he's just coming down off the mountain. He still has a glorious glow about him. They're looking at him. There is a tremendous anointing, and they can see and sense there's something different about Jesus. And so there they are. They run to him and they salute him. Verse 16 says, and he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? In other words, what are you asking my disciples? What are you talking to them concerning? Verse 17 says, and one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. Right. Now he's there, Jesus, in the midst of the scribes and the multitude. He's asking the scribes, asking them, what was your line of questioning to my disciples? Because one of the things that he knew was that they had a limited knowledge about the spiritual and supernatural things that the scribes perhaps were questioning them about. And Jesus said, if you really want to know the answer, ask me. But before the scribes could come forth with their questioning to Jesus, one of the men in the crowd came forth out of a sense of zeal and a sense of hurriedness and a sense of excitement and a sense of there being an opportunity for his son to truly be healed, says, I brought my disciple, or my son rather, to you to be healed, but you weren't present. So I brought him to your disciples, and I revealed to them what the Spirit was doing in him, and I asked them to heal him. And look at what his report was about Jesus' disciples. They could not. What an indictment against the followers of Jesus. What an indictment against those who Jesus had endowed with the ability to heal. What an indictment against those who viewed his disciples as extensions of him. They could not. My brothers and sisters, you need to know that the world, who views us as children of the Most High God, as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, as witnesses and extensions of his power and his peace, expect there to be a lot of similarity in our lifestyles as was with Jesus' lifestyle here on planet Earth. There are just some things they expect of us because we are connected to him. And so listen at this, because I want you to see this word now. The Bible says in verse 19, he answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto who? Me. Bring him to the source now. All right. Bring him unto me. Now listen at this, because I want you to see. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. Now, Jesus is speaking with them, and there is a righteous indignation in the spirit of Jesus concerning his disciples and even concerning those who were following by faith, because he said to the man, O faithless generation. Now, again, no doubt he's talking to one of the supposed believers, one of the supposed followers, who felt that it was their inheritance to receive healing. And yet there is something that is negligent in the father's faith, where the son could have received deliverance long before this moment. Now, he transfers, like many of us do, the responsibility of healing on others. See, a whole lot of folk don't want to walk in their faith, take responsibility for their faith, want others to do what God expects of them to do for themselves, to believe for themselves, to speak for themselves, to live for themselves. And yet, when things don't happen the way they think they ought to, they're quick to transfer the blame to somebody else, or the hope or the help to somebody else. How many of you know, as children of the Most High God, you have privileges, you have rights, you have the ability, according to the word of God, to go to God straight, directly, on the behalf of you or your loved ones, and petition him with an expectation of that you have said coming to pass. And when you try to transfer that on somebody else, all you do is delay the deliverance, you delay the blessing, and you delay the promise. You ought to get sick and tired of waiting on your deliverance.
and go to God and get your deliverance. You ought to be sick and tired of waiting on your healing. Take responsibility for it and get your healing. There are just some things that God puts you in position to receive now if your faith allows you to. Listen to this, because I want you to see this word again. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him. Now the spirit has occupied the boy. The spirit sees Jesus and senses, this is my last party inside this boy. Because the spirit saw Jesus. But I want you to see this again. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, saw who? No, look again. And they brought him, who is him? The boy. Unto him, who is him? Jesus. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. Now, here it is. Did Jesus see the boy, or did Jesus see the spirit in the boy? Listen at this now, because when let me help you out. You remember when Peter told him, after he had just spoken, thou art the Son of God, you know, and all of this and so forth. And Jesus said, you not undone this, but flesh and blood had not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Peter said, yeah. Okay, so they move on down. Jesus tells him, I'm going to die. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to give it. I rebuke you, Jesus. You are not going to die, et cetera, et cetera. Jesus turns around and looks at who? Well, the word says he saw Satan. He said unto Satan, get thee behind. He might have been looking in Peter's direction, but he saw the spirit that occupied Peter, and he spoke to that was underneath the skin. Now listen, when Jesus saw him, see, while y'all saw him looking at the boy, he was looking at the spirit occupying the boy, and the spirit got scared. Spirit's like, I better do what I'm going to do, because I'm about to get ousted. And so he just started having fits inside of the boy, threw the boy down, made the boy start vomiting and acting up, having convulsions. And Jesus turns to the father and says, how long has this been going on? Listen, that is right in the text. The Bible says, I want you to see this again. The Bible says, and verse 21, and he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? How long ago has this boy suffered this thing from the beginning? And he said, of a child, since he was a child. Listen at this now. Verse 22 says, and then he goes on to explain, and oft times it had cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. Listen, now he's letting Jesus know this boy has suffered many things now. This demonic spirit has cast him in the fire. This demonic spirit has thrown him in the water to try and drown him. This demonic spirit has thrown him to the ground, has ripped him up so, has caused him to have convulsions, and then at the end of it, he leaves him down as if he were dead. So worn and the body so drained, he just drops as if he's dead. I want you to see something else. He says, but if thou canst do anything. Jesus said, you were talking all right till you got to this part. If thou canst do, well, what you here for? See, you ought to come to Jesus knowing he can do, not hoping he can do. You ought to, when you get to, bypass the disciples, but when you get to Jesus, whatever others couldn't do, when you get to Jesus, you ought to know assuredly that he can do. Jesus took offense at this man saying to him, if thou canst do. And I want to tell you, he takes offense at your prayers when you pray to him like he can't do what you're asking him to do. I want to help somebody here today. I want to help somebody understand you don't go to God with prayer that's not sure and strong. You don't ask of God to do something you're not sure that God can do. When you go to him in prayer, you ought to be so sure it's just a matter of you stating for the record, God, I need you to do this because I know there's nothing too hard for you. So when you go to God in prayer, it ought to be confidently. It ought to be assuredly. You ought to have the assurance that I have got the answer to my prayer. I'm just putting it on record as a source of my doing my part and being responsible and accountable for asking like he said to ask. It should never ever be a doubt on the Lord's part whether or not he can. But here's what I want you to see. The man says this in defense of the man saying this. Listen, he says this in defense of the fact that he has already gone to people who should have been able to do what he asked them to do.
That's right.
So let me help you understand this. The reason why some folk doubt the Lord is because they've seen you first. You ain't got to say, man, I'm helping you today. Some folk doubt your God because they've seen you operate in not a spirit of excellence. So if you represent the Almighty God, and if you're supposed to be anointed and appointed, and you're supposed to have that ability to do what God says you can do, and if you can't do it, maybe it's not just you, but your source. Imagine how different. This would not be a petition at this point. This would be a praise. If he had come down and while he was asking the scribes, he said, excuse me, Jesus, I just want to say thank you. I brought my son to you to have him here, but you weren't here, but your disciples were here and they healed my son. And I just want to say praise be to God. But that wasn't a praise. That was a petition that should have been a praise, but they did not heal him. So the man thinks now, listen, maybe you can't do this, Jesus. But if you can, I want you to have mercy. I want you to have compassion and help us. Look again, it's right there in the text. The Bible says again, and oft times it had cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Can I tell you something, my brothers and sisters? When you're the caregiver of those who suffer, no matter what the sickness is, it's not just the person who's suffering, but the person who takes care of the suffering person who suffers as well. This father loved his son so much, every time his son went through stuff, he went through stuff with his son. He was there, and oftentimes because he was there, his son probably was not destroyed but saved. Because when he fell in the fire, no doubt he was probably the one that rushed in and got him out the fire. When he fell into the water, many times it was him who probably reached in and grabbed him out of the water. Falling into a convulsive state and falling there and being as dead, he would have drowned, but his father got him out the water in time. He might have gotten burned, but not burned up, because his father reached in and got him before that happened. Father couldn't sleep well because he had to sleep light, because every time something would happen, he'd have to be conscious enough and quick enough to see what he could do before this demon destroyed his son. And that had gone on since he was a child. So he asked Jesus, if you can do anything. It reminds me of some of those folk who pray, Lord, anywhere. In your kingdom will be all right with me. You know, those kind of folk ain't sure, you know, that they're going to go. They're just kind of like, if you got a little corner up in heaven, I don't need no mansion. Just anywhere
Anywhere. And boy, we get excited because we got that kind of mentality too. Anywhere.
No, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you.
I don't want no anywhere. I want a prepared place. So when I get here, if I don't have a mansion here, I have an expectation of one up in heaven because Jesus prepared it for me.
Get these nuggets. Get these nuggets. Listen. So he says, have compassion on us and help us. Verse 23, Jesus said unto him, the question isn't if I can do anything. I think it's the New American Standard that says, if you can. If you can. I like the way it's phrased because Jesus literally throws the focus back on the Father. See, let's get this thing straight. There isn't a shortness in my power. I'm not your problem. I can do whatever I desire to do. The question is, do you believe I can? See, Jesus throws the focus back on the Father. Wait a minute. You brought him to me, but that was an interruption. And the disciples interceded, and you did not get the intended outcome. Now you think there's a problem with me? If you can believe. Now, I want to pause here and just throw this out parenthetically. For every person who's suffering with an issue, dealing with a problem, want an answer, need some help, some deliverance, some healing, some whatever the issue may be, the question is not about whether or not the Lord still has the power to do it. The question is, do you believe? If you canst believe. If you can understand that I am still able to do all things, if you realize that there is no shortage in my power, you can be helped. Look again at what he says. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things. Now notice here that there is an inclusion of every area, arena, avenue, situation, circumstance, etc., when he said all things. My question is to you, what are you limiting him to? Because he said, if you canst believe, if you can believe, all things are possible. What limitation did God put on it? The Lord Jesus says, if you can believe. So that means whatever area you're suffering defeat in, whatever situation you're dealing with, all you've got to do is raise your level of belief to that place where it pleases God because you have faith in him to know that it is possible, then you can have what you say. See, the problem is our faith many times doesn't rise as high as our mouth. Some of y'all will catch that on your way home. I said your faith doesn't rise high as your mouth. In other words, you say a lot of things you really don't believe, but if you begin believing what you say, you begin to see it. All things. You mean what I'm dealing with right now, Lord? Uh-huh. All things. You mean the sickness in the body? Yeah, all. You mean the cancer? All things. You mean problems with my children, with my spouse? All things. You mean the problems on my job? Or you mean the slack, lack, and the insufficiency of funds? All things. You mean this eating disorder I got? All things. I can just keep on going down the list, but I'll help you understand when he says all, he means all things. Don't limit the Lord. Don't put him in this proverbial box and think that he's limited because you are limited.
He wants you to know there are no limits on what he can do, but those that he will do for you. That's why he'll do one thing for one thing and won't do another for another.